The reading is from Psalm 33, page 560. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the ten-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance, despite all of its strength. It cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Thank you, Betty, for reading for us. Please do keep that psalm in front of you, if you can. And children, keep listening, because I've got some things that I want you to help me with as we think about this psalm together. Well, this psalm, it calls people to sing together. It tells us to make a big, happy, joyful noise to praise God. And it's a song about trusting God more than anything else. So let's look again at the first few verses. It says this: sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the ten-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. So how did the people feel when they were singing? Who can tell me how they felt? How did the people feel when they were singing this song, when they were praising God? Were they feeling sad and downcast? Or were they happy? Who can tell me? Elated. Thank you. Elated. Happy. Okay, brilliant. Children, who can you show me a face to show me how these people felt when they were singing this song and praising God? What kind of face do you think they might have had as they were singing to God? Can I see any faces? Show me a face. I've got lots of stunned looking faces at the moment. How do you think God, the people felt as they sang this song to God? I can see some happy faces. That's great. Some smiley faces. They weren't sad. Brilliant, Adam. Well done. Happy faces. They were happy and joyful. This is a joyful song. Okay. And what were the people doing while they sang? Do you remember what it said in the psalm? What were they doing as they sang? Who can tell me? Yes, Adam. They were praising God, yes, with singing and with what else? I think I heard Matthew whisper instruments. That's right, Emma. A harp, that's right. It says a harp, doesn't it? And a 10-stringed lyre, whatever one of those was. That's a strange-sounding instrument, isn't it? Yep. So the people were playing instruments while they sang and praised God. It doesn't matter which instruments we use, but God is pleased. He is thrilled when we use musical instruments to praise him. Children, can you act out playing a musical instrument? Let's see some air guitar. Yeah, can we see some air guitar? That's my favourite. What about trumpet? Some air trumpet. What about drums? Any drums? What else? Piano. Some piano. Okay, brilliant. So playing musical instruments and praising God and singing to him. And the reason the psalm writer is telling us to praise God is because God loves us and because he keeps his promises. And that's really important, because God has promised that one day we will be with him in heaven. It'll be like a wonderful party that will last forever. But it's not party time yet. We can be absolutely certain that the party will happen. It will come. But it's not yet. We have to wait. And sometimes waiting can be very hard to do, especially when we go through hard times, as we just have done with this COVID pandemic. So the psalm writer gives us three very good reasons why we can trust God's promises while we wait for them to happen. So firstly, he says that God's words are true. That's the first reason we can trust God's promises. God's words, recorded for us here in the Bible, God's words are true. He says this, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." When God says he will do something, he does it. He never lies. And everything he says is right and just. So that's the first reason we can trust God's promises. His words are true. Secondly, the psalm writer says that God's words are powerful. He says this, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." Have you ever gone out into your garden at night and looked up at the stars in the sky? They're beautiful, aren't they? And there are so many of them. On a clear night, there are so many that we can't even count them. If you try and count them, you get stuck and lose count before you've even got, well, not even a few through. Well, the psalm writer says that God spoke all these stars into existence. It's as if he breathed out all the stars into space. He commanded them into existence. And that was as easy for God as it is for me to blow some glitter off my hands. Now, I've got some glitter here. Sorry, cleaning team, that we haven't quite recruited yet. So I've got some glitter in my hand, and I can blow, and they're actually glittery stars. That's easy. And the Bible says that it was just as easy for God to create the universe and to create the stars in the sky. It was as easy for him as breathing them out. And his words, his powerful words, have power over the sea as well. Psalm 7. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts them into deep storehouses. It's great living by the seaside, isn't it? It's great living here in Hastings. We've got the seaside just a short walk away, especially in the summer like this. When the weather's warm in our family, we like to go down to the beach and have a swim in the sea. It takes us a little while to get in sometimes, but we love to go in and have a swim. And when we stand on the beach, well, the sea is just so big. We can't see the end of it. The sea is huge. But the psalm writer said that God could put all of the oceans of the world into jars. Got a jar of water here. It's not seawater. A jar of water here. It says that God puts the seas into jars. In other words, the sea is big to us, but it's small to God. He is big and powerful. And the psalm writer says that not only the seas, but the whole earth exists because of God's powerful words. He says this, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. God spoke and everything came into being. He commanded the world into existence. Well, God is so big and so powerful. So when he makes a promise, we can be sure that the words he uses are full of power. The words he makes promises with are powerful words. And so we know that we can trust what he says. So thirdly, the psalm writer says that we can trust God because his plans are unstoppable. In verses 10 and 11, he says this, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. When God says he will do something, he does it. Now, when I say I'll do something, well, sometimes my plans change. So at this time of year, the grass in my garden grows very quickly. So I might plan to cut the grass. I might say that I'll do it on Saturday. But then when the weekend comes, well, it might rain. And the rain might stop me from doing what I'd planned. But God isn't like that. The psalm writer says that his plans stand firm forever. Nothing can stop him from doing what he has planned to do. His plans are unstoppable. Well, those are three very good reasons, aren't they, to trust God. His words are true, his words are powerful, and his plans are unstoppable. Let me say that again. His words are true, his words are powerful, and his plans are unstoppable. But sometimes people trust other things more than they trust God. And there are three such people in this psalm. Did you spot them? Did you spot three people in this psalm who were trusting other things more than they trusted God? Let me read it again. It says this in verses 16 and 17. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. So imagine a king who had a big problem. His enemies wanted to fight a war. You can imagine him perhaps tossing and turning at night, worrying about his enemies attacking. He might say to himself, well, I'm sure I'll be safe if my army's the biggest. So perhaps he goes and counts all his soldiers to see how many they are. Well, as he counted them, his soldiers would salute, wouldn't they? Can you give me a salute like a soldier? Thank you, well done, at ease. The king's soldiers would make him feel safe, wouldn't they? But having the biggest army doesn't always mean that you'll win. And even the biggest army in the world can't get you into that party in heaven. Imagine one of the king's warriors, one of his best fighters. What does he trust in this psalm? Well, he trusts his body. I'm sure I'll be safe if I'm the strongest, he says. So he goes to the gym, he works out, he eats more protein. His muscles get bigger and bigger. Can you flex your muscles? Let's see your muscles. Let's see those big muscles. Well, I'm brilliant. What am I called? Big muscles. Okay. Well, the warrior's muscles might make him feel safe. But what if he gets ill? Having the biggest muscles doesn't always mean that you're safe. And having big muscles won't get you into that party in heaven. And imagine one of the king's soldiers. Well, he's worried about being in the middle of a big battlefield. But he trusts in his horse to keep him safe. He's got a big, strong, powerful horse. So he grooms his horse and he rides it. Can you make a clip-clop sound like a horse? Can you do that? Excellent. Oh, we've got a galloping horse as well. Very good. Excellent. Okay, put this horse back in the stable. Well done. So the soldier's horse might make him feel safe. But what if the horse gets sick? Having an army, being strong and having big muscles, and having a strong horse, clip-clop, clip-clop, well, they might be good things. But they can't keep us safe forever. And they can't get us into the party in heaven. What these people should have trusted most is God and his unstoppable plans and his unstoppable promises. And it's the same for us. When we have a big problem, like the king, we should trust God's plans and promises. But we don't always do that. What do we trust when we have a big problem? Maybe it's our friends. Perhaps we say, well, I'm sure I'll be okay if I'm with people who are popular. And so we follow the crowd to feel safe. Perhaps we rely on ourselves. Well, if I work hard at school, pass all my tests, or win at football, then I'll be okay. So we try really hard while we're at school or at work or playing sports. Perhaps we save up lots of money and eat healthy food and think that that will mean we're okay. Well, friends and hard work and strong bodies are all really good things. But they can't save us. And they definitely can't get us to the party in heaven. Only God can get us to the party in heaven. Which is why we should trust him the most. Now, even when life is hard, as it has been through this coronavirus pandemic, God's plans for us will not fail. He will do all that he has promised. If we love Jesus, then he has promised that he will get us to heaven where we will be safe with him forever. And he will do it. Whatever our circumstances now, we need to trust his plans and promises. They are unstoppable. But of course, it can be hard to keep trusting God because we can't see him, can we? There will be times, perhaps, when we doubt that he knows what we're going through or that he can look after us in a situation we're in. And perhaps we think, well, I'd better look after myself instead. When that happens, we have to remind one another to trust God and not ourselves. And that's why we need to sing and shout and make a big noise to remind each other to keep trusting God more than anything else. God sees everything that happens to us. He loves us. And he alone can get us safely to heaven. Nothing can stop him. He will do what he has promised. So we need to keep reminding each other to trust him more than anything or anyone else. This is how the psalm ends. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for your loving plans and promises for our lives, which are full of goodness and blessing. When life is hard, please help us to trust you above all else and to delight in your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.